the gospel according to Thich Nhat Hanh. If that's a surprise, the service is somewhat unusual in honor of a very unusual celebration today. Okay. Like a leaf, we have many stems, he writes. One autumn day, I was in a park, absorbed in the contemplation of a very small, beautiful leaf shaped like a heart. Its color was almost red, and it was barely hanging on the branch, nearly ready to fall down. I spent a long time with it, and I asked the leaf a number of questions. I found out the leaf had been a mother to the tree. Usually, we think that the tree is the mother and the leaves are just children. But as I looked at the leaf, I saw that the leaf is also a mother to the tree. The sap that the roots take up is only water and minerals, not sufficient to nourish the tree. So the tree distributes the sap to the leaves, and the leaves transform the rough sap into elaborated sap, and with the help of the sun and gas, send it back to the tree for nourishment. Therefore, the leaves are also mother to the tree. Since the leaf is linked to the tree by a stem, the communication between them is easy to see. We do not have a stem linking us to our mother anymore. But when we were in her womb, we had a very long stem and umbilical cord. The oxygen and nourishment we needed came to us through that miraculous stem. But on the day we were born, it was cut off, and we received the illusion that we became independent. That is not true. We continue to rely on our mother for a very long time, and we have many other mothers as well. The earth is our mother. We have a great many stems linking us to our mother earth. There are stems linking us to the clouds. If there are no clouds, there will be no water for us to drink. We are mostly made of water. This is also the case with the river, the forest, the logger, and the farmer. There are hundreds of thousands of stems linking each one of us to everything in the cosmos, supporting us and making it possible for us even to be. Do you see the link between you and you and you and me, or you to you to you? If you were not there, I am not here. This is certain. If you do not see it yet, please look more deeply, and I am sure you will. I asked the leaf whether it was frightened because it was autumn and the other leaves were falling. The leaf told me, no. During the whole spring and summer, I was completely alive. I worked hard to nourish the tree, and now much of me is in the tree. I am not limited by this form. I am also the whole tree, and when I go back to the soil, I will continue to nourish that tree. So I don't worry at all as I leave this branch and float to the ground. I will wave to the tree and tell her, I will see you again soon. That day, there was a wind blowing, and after a while, I saw the leaf leave the branch and float down to the soil, dancing joyfully. Because as it floated, it saw itself already there in the tree. It was so happy. I bowed my head, knowing that I have a lot to learn from that leaf. The good news of rebirth in our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay. So, in keeping with tradition, I will have a homily now. A little history, of course. One can't do a Mother's Day homily without a little history, right? First thing that happened this morning is I cited to Catherine what I was going to say about the history. She's out there in Zoom land. And immediately she said, well, you don't have the whole story. And quick as a wink, she's out Googled me and filled in the details. So I said, okay, no good homily exists without rewriting on Sunday morning. So, it became an official holiday back in 1914. Woodrow Wilson came under the pressure of a particular woman, but going further back, after the Civil War, Julia Ward Howe in Boston, Ann Reeves Jarvis in Grafton, West Virginia. Anybody know where Grafton is? It's somewhere between the North and the South. Civil War. These women were affected by the enormous loss of life of young men, in particular, in that war. And both were dedicated to bringing mothers into the anti-war movement. So that had a variety of activities going on in the late 19th century. But Anne's daughter, Anna, is the one credited with promoting the national holiday on the second Sunday in May. She did liturgy that started with her Methodist Episcopal Church in Grafton, West Virginia, that was dedicated to venerating a mother's private service to her family, a service that soon became the national holiday of honoring mothers. It is written that she was appalled at the commercialization that set in. So be it. Debbie's reading from the Wisdom of Solomon today is a very strong reflection of the honor we give to the feminine wisdom, not just women, but men. I can't say that my divine feminine, as an engineer, came to the front very often, but Wisdom Sophia is such a powerful concept of the feminine and wisdom. And my own mother, and I'm sure many of you feel the same way, was the wise person in my family. And I miss her wisdom. I miss that feel of her hand in mine. But we regenerate and move on. Now, I have to give homage to the fact that my wisdom is home today and was had to zoom in for her reading. But I am absolutely conscious that this is the reality for most of us today. Truly, for many, the mother is the family's font of wisdom. And I personally, and I know many of you, feel truly blessed by the wisdom of women in my life. Catherine's reading today takes us into the other part of wisdom, and that is the rearing of child. It's not just about the day of birth, although that is having been there to see and welcome with hands both of our children being born. That's a vast miracle, and I understand that. But it's the rest of life, as Catherine alluded to, that really is also a part of our mothering, our family, both parents. One of the great shames for me of Christianity's origin is the hidden role of Jesus' mother in his adolescence. Writers tried to come up with something later that made sense to them, but his adolescence and years of growing to manhood, his life leading up to his miraculous encounter with the Spirit of God following his baptism by John, are hidden to us. Luke, on the other hand, makes reference to Jesus sticking around in Jerusalem after one of the festival days to be at the temple with the learned scholars. Actually, they were Sadducees, as I read, who were there talking, teaching Torah. And Jesus sat with them. And his mother came back and said, "What are you doing?" And he said, "I'm doing God's work. I'm doing God's work." And so that's lost in mystery. But the fact is, here is a young man. We don't meet him until he's around 30 years old. But we know that he had the gift of presence, of mindfulness, of encompassing love that he was then able to share and embody in such a beautiful life. I know there's a veneration of Mary, but there's also family that must have been involved, community, synagogue as we know it today, the meeting house in this little Nazareth community where he and the men would be on one side, the women on the other side, but reading Torah. And as we know from Scripture, Torah was the center of Jesus' teaching. Not the embellished Torah with the elites of Jerusalem, but the conservative focus on Torah itself. So I can jump ahead. I do that, you know, I get off script and then I say, okay, let's. So, Thich Nhat Hanh's reading today really focuses for me the notion of our interconnectedness with all of life, with each other, and with all of life. And these stems really take the forms of human linkage from our traditional and now to our expanded LGBTQ plus understanding of what makes a family, and finally, to the love of community, such as Living Beatitudes, that binds us together in the comfort and love of Christ. But I have to bookend the story of the origin of Mother's Day with a story taken this week from Greg Sargent in the Washington Post last week. It's the first day of the week. A Tennessee teacher named Mickey planned a Mother's Day class for her kids in kindergarten through second grade. What a great idea. So she had a couple of books, but she notified the parents in advance that the two books would be read aloud to her kids. One of them was Stella Brings the Family, about a girl who is unsure how to approach Mother's Day, given that she has two dads. The other was Mother Bruce, about a bear who adopts a brood of goslings who believe he is their mother. She offered the parents the option of opting out of this lesson for their kids and offered an alternate lesson. This is Tennessee, folks. I lived there once. Well, as you might expect, the expectorant hit the fan. And the books were rapidly banned. Not just her teaching, the books themselves. She was savage, savage, Sargent wrote, as one who was a groomer and an enemy of traditional mothers. These were just some of the angry responses she received. The many stems of motherhood and family should enrich us all. But like Happy Holidays greeting in the Christmas season, it becomes a bitter source of hatred across our social divide, to the detriment of both sides. So I bid you all here and in this community an expanded, God-filled, love-overflowing, all-inclusive, happy Mothers of All Children Day, as well as a happy child-rearing day. Amen.
Amen.
I welcome your comments.